Hey, I'm Michael Linville. Thanks for stopping by and checking us out here at WVPE.org. John Allen Jr., the editor of the independent news site Crux, which specializes in coverage of the Vatican and the Catholic Church, is going to be at Holy Cross College later this week on Thursday, March 21st at 7 p.m. Mr. Allen will be at the File Center at Holy Cross College to deliver a talk titled Rome is from Mars, America from Venus, The Cultural Gap Between the Vatican and Main Street USA. I recently had a chance to visit with Mr. Allen, and I began by asking him to explain what he sees as the cause for that gap between the Vatican and Main Street USA.
The cultural world, the kind of thought world, if you like, of mainstream American culture is just very, very different than the thought world of the Vatican, which reflects the global realities of the Catholic Church. I mean, as a basic threshold point of departure, let's bear in mind that there are about 70 million Catholics in the United States, and there are about 1.3 billion Catholics worldwide, which means that Catholics in America make up about 6% of the global Catholic population. Put another way, 94% of the Catholics in the world aren't necessarily like us. In many ways, they're wildly different. And, you know, the Vatican has to think about all of that, and inevitably that creates some cultural misunderstandings that get in the way of having a productive conversation about anything.
It used to be, I guess, the church was seen as the authority on stuff, and now the church just isn't seen as the authority on so many things. Isn't that really the greater issue?
Well, that certainly is an issue. I mean, for a lot of reasons. I mean, one just has to do with centuries of secularization, concepts of separation of church and state, privatization of religion. I mean, all of that has been going on for a long time. It has been exacerbated in recent years by scandals within Catholicism, most particularly the clerical sexual abuse scandals, which have just had a massive impact on the church's public standing and its moral authority. So sure, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, the days in which the church could wag its finger and control the way people thought, felt, and acted, I mean, those days are long since gone. That's not so much about the cultural difference between Rome and the U.S., because that reality is very much present both places. However, I do think when the church attempts to exercise some kind of moral leadership, that's often complicated by the fact that it is speaking out of one cultural frame of reference, and then Americans are receiving it through theirs. And in order to understand what the church is trying to say sometimes, you got to do some cultural translation.
And is that what your talk's going to be about, cultural translation then?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, I'm sort of playing Margaret Mead here in The Burning Island, right? You know, trying to explain this strange, exotic, you know, culture of the Vatican. So we'll talk about things, Michael, such as different concepts of time in Rome and the United States. You know, in the United States, we are, as I like to put it, a microwave culture. You know, we want everything right now. Rome is much more a crockpot culture, you know, where things are supposed to simmer for a long time before the food is ready. And so Americans will often interpret what they see as delay and inaction as denial or arrogance or incompetence, whereas Rome will look at the American propensity to want to do everything immediately as immaturity and going off half-cocked and not having thought adequately about things. You know, both of these perspectives have their virtues and their vices, right? But they are clearly different, and it's very easy for one party in the conversation to misinterpret the other if they don't understand that.
You earlier mentioned the sex abuse crisis that has roiled the church for nearly two decades now. Has that played out similarly here in the United States as it has around the world, or is there something distinct about the United States' reaction to it?
Well, first of all, it's more like three decades. The first Catholic priest criminally convicted of sexual abuse of a minor in the United States was in Louisiana in 1985, which is kind of shocking if you think about how long this crisis has been around and how much unfinished business there still is in terms of the church's efforts to come to grips with it. I do think there's something unique in the United States. The United States, in this sense, is like other developed Western societies like Canada and Ireland and Germany and Belgium and other places, where the crisis, as we understand it, has been particularly acute. We have a strong sense of corporate accountability in American law that doesn't exist in many other places, so that you can sue institutions for the misdeeds of their personnel and hold them corporately accountable And that concept of corporate accountability has been a key element of this crisis because it's what's made lawsuits possible. It's what's made discovery possible. It's what's forced archives open. It's what made depositions of senior church officials possible. And all of those are elements that have made the crisis so particularly acute in the United States. I also think simply because the United States has been living with this crisis for so long and because so many of the most celebrated or infamous, if you like, chapters in this story have unfolded in the United States from the John Gagan and Paul Shanley scandals in Boston in 2002-2003 up to just in the last year, the Ted McCarrick case in the United States, the Pennsylvania grand jury report and so on. All of that has meant that Americans have experienced this crisis in a particularly strong form. But, you know, the flip side of that is that's also why in the Catholic Church, the United States would be considered a pace setter in terms of reform moves. I mean, most of the strong measures for abuse prevention, detection, and accountability that the Catholic Church has adopted globally over the last 10 years, many of those measures were developed in the United States. And so in that sense, it is an awful, gut-wrenching story, but it's also a story that has some elements of hope.
Do you have any explanation for the Church's poor handling of the crisis? I feel like it's a case study in how not to handle a crisis.
Yeah, well, you know, as they say in PR 101, if you perceive you have a communications problem, it's because you have a real problem. And that's the situation with the Catholic Church. You know, in terms of its poor handling, look, I think it is a good news, bad news situation. The good news is that over the last decade or so, the Catholic Church has adopted state-of-the-art accountability measures for the crime of sexual abuse of a minor. Today, if you are on the Catholic payroll in the United States and you are accused of sexual abuse of a minor, you will be removed from your position immediately pending investigation. There will be an investigation. And if that accusation is deemed to be credible, you are going to be subject to the church's equivalent of the death penalty, which in the case of a priest means you're going to be defrocked, kicked out of the priesthood. And that is just pretty inflexible and absolute, and it applies at all levels of the church. That's what the Theodore McCarrick case showed us, that it applies even to a cardinal, a prince of the church. The bad news is that the church has not adopted equally strong accountability measures for the cover-up of sexual abuse. To date, there has not been a single Catholic bishop or religious superior anywhere in the world who has been defrocked as a result of not committing the crime of abuse, but of covering up somebody else doing it. That's what enrages people right now, that there does not appear to be accountability for the institutional failure here. There is accountability for the individual failure, but not the institutional. And until that kind of accountability is supplied, I think people are going to continue to be angry and hurt and feel betrayed and let down by the church. Now, we should add to that that the secular world is not waiting for the church to get its act together. Just in the last couple of weeks, we have seen a cardinal in Australia who was sentenced to 6 years in prison for the crime of sex abuse, and we have seen another cardinal in France sentenced to a suspended jail term for the cover-up of sexual abuse. So civil prosecutors and police agencies around the world are not waiting for the church to get its act together, but that's no excuse, of course, for the church's own failures.
Okay, so they've made some strides in addressing the issue. Catholic bishops from around the world met in Rome in mid-February for a summit on preventing sexual child abuse. At that summit, Pope Francis called for, quote, an all-out battle against the abuse of minors. Were there any policy changes from the Vatican or any specifics given on how the church planned to wage that battle?
Quick answer to that question is no. You know, I think the takeaway from that summit is that if you come from sub-Saharan Africa or most of Asia, pockets of Latin America, most of the Middle East and Eastern Europe, where this crisis has never really happened in the sense that we know it in the United States. I mean, that's not to say priests are not sexually abusing children. Some small percentage are going to do that everywhere. But the crisis in the sense of lawsuits and bad press and public protest and advocacy groups and all of that, it has not hit those parts of the world. And so bishops from those parts of the world who came to that summit got a crash course in what the crisis is really like and perhaps will be able for once to defuse the bomb before it goes off. That's the good news. The bad news is that if you are from places that have lived with this crisis for a while, such as the United States, you didn't see or hear anything in this summit you have not seen and heard many times before. The one concrete thing that came out of it is that the Vatican is going to help create regional task forces for various parts of the world that will help local churches develop anti-abuse guidelines and help monitor those guidelines. But in the United States, we've had those guidelines since 2002. That's not our problem. Our problem is that what the average person in the streets in the United States wants to see is accountability, both for the crime and the cover-up. And until the bishops working with the Vatican get their act together on delivering that kind of accountability, this crisis is not going to go away.
Before I let you go, I want to circle back to the cultural gap you're going to be talking about on Thursday evening. Our area is home to the nation's best-known Catholic college. Do you think an institution like the University of Notre Dame has a role to play in helping bridge the cultural divide between the Catholic Church and Main Street USA?
I think Notre Dame does a fairly creditable job of trying to bridge that cultural gap. And if you happen to live in South Bend, that's an enormous asset. But what has not yet happened, and perhaps it's unrealistic to think a university by itself is going to do this, but you know, the kinds of understanding of global Catholicism that would percolate naturally at a place like Notre Dame really haven't arrived in most other parts of the Catholic world in the United States. I mean, most American Catholics are very surprised when you tell them that American Catholics are only 6% of the global church. You know, it's a basic factoid about Catholicism in the 21st century. Most people don't know it. If you tell them that today 2/3 of the Catholic population globally lives in the Southern Hemisphere, and then that's going to be 3/4 by mid-century. If you tell them that Catholicism in sub-Saharan Africa is growing by basically a 7,000% growth rate, that it's the greatest missionary expansion of Catholicism in the history of the church, and that it's happening right now, those too are surprises to a lot of people. And so what needs to happen is that we need to somehow create a new consciousness in American Catholicism that understands the destiny of the American church as somehow bound up with the fate and the life of this much bigger and much more diverse global Catholic community. And if we can do that, then I think we can think more constructively about where things stand.
That was John Allen Jr., the editor of the independent news site Crux, which specializes in coverage of the Vatican and the Catholic Church. Mr. Allen is going to be at the File Center on the campus of Holy Cross College this Thursday evening, March 21st at 7 p.m. to deliver a talk titled Rome is from Mars, America from Venus, the cultural gap between the Vatican and Main Street USA. That event is free and open to the public.